You'll turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. We'll continue our study in the book of Romans. And we're lifeguards, by the way. We're supposed to go dive in. Save them. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. As we continue this section of Romans on service, the application of righteousness. So we look at being real, we looked at spiritual transformation, and now we look at spiritual living, living for real, genuine Christians, our service to God. Why don't we stand in honor of God's word as we read it together? Let's start with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can freely meet, fellowship together. Thank you for your word, Father. The very words of God in our hands. What a privilege, what an honor. I pray that we'll make the most of it. Father, as we look into your word, that you'll teach us, that your spirit will convict us, transform us, mold us and shape us into that which you desire, the image of Christ. Father, may we grow as we yield our will to you, allow your spirit to work in our hearts and our lives. I pray we'll please you in all we do. Father, we thank you again for this church. What a blessing it is. What a blessing to me personally. I thank you for all that you've done for us as a congregation. And I pray, Father, that you'll continue to have your hand upon us as we focus on you, as we strive to be courageously obedient to you, regardless. We love you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The year was about 1065 BC. There was a king and a prince. Prince had a friend. Prince had a friend, a really good, close companion. Devoted. Loved that friend. The friend was not of royalty. In fact, he was a shepherd boy. Really wasn't a boy. He was probably in his 20s by now. Wasn't just a shepherd. He was a warrior and a musician. His name was David. His friend was Prince Jonathan. The king was King Saul. You know the story. At this point, David was in the king's service. And as King Saul understood that the hand of God was removed from him and placed on this young man, David, he became angry and jealous, paranoid, and he wanted to kill David. But Prince Jonathan, heir to the throne, loved David like a brother, was devoted to David in brotherly love. So much so that he did what? If you remember the story, he helped David avoid the wrath of King Saul. He risked his own life so that David could live. That's devotion, isn't it? That's brotherly love. And that's what our text is about this morning. A brotherly love, a devotion, a commitment like that of Jonathan and David. So let's look at our text. Verse 10 of chapter 12. We'll just take this in bite-sized pieces this morning, see what we can learn, okay? First, be devoted. Be devoted. It's a unique word. Philostorgos. Philostorgos in the Greek is a compound Greek word, and it's only used here in all of Scripture. Philostorgos. Two words combined together in a unique way. First, it philos literally means friend. Root word is phileo. You may be familiar with phileo. That's the tender affection, the friendship type love. That's the root word. This is philos. Literally means friend. The second part, storge, means family love. That fondness of family, the cherishing of one's kindred, one's relative. Some of you know that. As families differ, you may have a differing perspective on what that means, but this is family love. You put them together, and for some reason in the English it's translated as be devoted. But literally it means a family type of love. The blood is thicker than water kind of love. The family bond, the family ties, strong family love towards a friend. Someone who is not actually, literally, biologically related. Unique word. Blood is thicker than water, type of commitment and relationship, but with someone who is not really actually your relative. Unique word. Okay, what's next? What person? In particular, if we'd have had this bond, this strong family type of love to someone who's not a family member, who are we to have that to? Who in particular are we to demonstrate such commitment and love? Look at our text. Be devoted to one another. To one another. What does that mean? This is a letter from the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Rome. Written to a church, to believers. The one another here is not just any old person. It's not every person. It's not talking about your neighbors, your strangers that you meet, co-workers, unless they're true born-again Christians. We're to have this family type, strong, devoted, committed, blood is thicker than water type love to a non-family member, that is, one another. That's the recipient of this type of love, is one another here at Rocky Hill Baptist Church, in this congregation, in church, our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the one another. How are we going to demonstrate this strong family bond, this devotion and commitment? According to the text, be devoted to one another. That's us. How? In brotherly love. The Greek word is Philadelphia. Simple as that. That's the Greek word, Philadelphia. Just like the city in Pennsylvania. The city of brotherly love. It's also a compound Greek word. It's this time phileo. Phileo. The tender affection, friendship love. Like you have for a friend or a close friend, like Jonathan and David had. Phileo love. The other part of the compound word is adelphos. Adelphos is another Greek word for brother. Put them together and you literally have brotherly love, just like the text says. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Have a family type, strong, blood is thicker than water love. For other Christians, one another. Especially here in the church. How? Well, in a brotherly love kind of way. It's almost repetitive, isn't it? When you look at the real true meaning from the text in the Greek, it's almost repetitive. Have a strong family type of love for other Christians in a brotherly-like, loving kind of way. The point is, we are a church. And we're to love each other like a family. That's the point. We are a church family. And we're to love each other like a family. Good grief, Pastor. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? You don't know my family. You don't know what it's like out here in the congregation with all of us. God commands us to love one another. And the one another means believers. Here, specifically, in context, in Romans 12:10, this church, the local body of believers. It doesn't say you have to like each other. It just says you have to love each other, right? Man, I know there's different personalities, likes and dislikes, and different people. We just looked at that in verses 4 and 5, remember? Many members, one body. Some are hands, some are feet. Different personalities. It's okay. You don't have to like them. You have to love them. We're commanded to love them, to love each other. You with me? God is pretty serious about this church family love thing. Let's look at what he says. Let's turn with me to 1 John, all the way over to the right. Not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. There's three of them, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go all the way to Revelation and then back up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Family bonds, family love. Man, Chip, God expects us to love each other like a family. Absolutely. Like it or not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's what? Human? He's a liar. Why is that? For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. What's the point? Man, if you say you genuinely, for real, love God, that was last verse, Romans 12:9, last week, genuine agape love, affectionate, endearing love, the type of love that God has for us, that we're to have back to God. If we're going to say, hey, I love God, but you know, there's some people at church I just can't stand. In fact, some of them make me mad. That's hypocritical love. It's not genuine love. Listen, we're to love God genuinely and love others genuinely and love our brothers and sisters in the church genuinely. You can't have one without the other. True love for God is a love that demonstrates itself in loving one another. Man, even if you're not best buddies, even if you don't like the person, we love them. Turn with me back a few pages to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, God's serious about this, people. Church families to love each other. Verse 9, chapter 2, 1 John. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. What's the light? Who's the light? Jesus, God. We don't have time to read the whole letter. Back up to chapter 1, verse 5. For context's sake, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is what? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if you read from there to where we are in verse 9 of chapter 2, contextually, God is light. Hey, if you love God, if you're in God, if you're in the family via Jesus Christ, and yet hates his brother, he is still in darkness. You can't do it. The one who loves, verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. You see the contrast? Real Christians have real love for their Christian family, for their church family. Can't be hypocritical, can't have it both ways. We claim to love God. If we do love God, then we're automatically going to love one another. Not going to be easy, not going to be effortless, but because of our commitment and devotion to God Almighty, because being Christian is more than just a saying, it's a lifestyle, we will also demonstrate love for one another, even those we don't like, in church, as a church family. One more, 1 John chapter 3. God is serious about this church family love thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. Hang on. That doesn't sound good. That's reality. Start of the paragraph. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know that? Verse 14. Because we love what? The world? No, we're not to be conformed to the world. Remember that? Because we've transformed? Absolutely. Because we have genuine, real love for God? Because we've taken the mask off? We're no longer masquerading, pretending to be Christians once a week? Because we have love for the brethren. The brethren is you and me, the person next to you, church family. We know real Christians by the type of love they demonstrate to their church family. Real Christians, genuine Christians, demonstrate genuine love for both God and for their church family members. Let's keep reading. We're not finished. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. I'm in 1 John 3:15 right now. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. That's strong, isn't it? Where did John the apostle get that? From Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, if you want to look it up. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus is serious about this, isn't he, people? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Can't be hypocritical. Genuine love demonstrates genuine love. We know love by this, verse 16, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's love. That's devotion. That's commitment. That's Jonathan and David kind of love. Do you have that kind of love for each other here today? Ooh, man, that's tough, ain't it? I'm not just talking about for the handful of folks you hang around with. I'm just not talking about for your Sunday school class. I'm talking about for the other Sunday school class, the other end of the church. Do we have that kind of love? God's serious about this. Commitment and devotion, love leads to honor. Let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Commitment, devotion, family, strong family bond, love that we're to have for our church family, for other believers, leads to honor. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. How? In lip service, in honor. In honor. Giving preference here means to put first. Literally, it means to outdo. In context, it means to outdo in terms of honoring one another. Get that picture. What if we ran around trying to outdo one another in giving each other honor and respect and love. That's what it literally means. Give preference and honor. The results of real family love is us trying to outdo each other and honoring each other. Get that picture? Boy, does that look like us? Boy, some days it does. Some days, maybe not so much. Real honor, true appreciation, respect, thanks. You know, we honor our veterans, our military. Last week was Veterans Day. We know what that means to honor those veterans who have served our country, who've given up their lives for our freedom. Same kind of honor. We're supposed to honor each other. You know, when someone passes away at the funeral service, man, we honor that person, don't we? We don't have to wait till somebody dies, do we, to honor them? Why don't we do it now? In fact, we're supposed to do it. Supposed to do it now. God expects us to have this type of family love. A real church family with real family love. Commitment, devotion, honor, and respect for one another. Man, chapter 12, verse 9, we talked about agape love, that enduring affection and emotional love that we have for God and God has for us. And here in verse 10, we see real family love, phileo love, brotherly love. What does a real family look like, though, guys? Three things real family looks like. A real family that loves biblically like this provides support. A real family that loves biblically provides support. This will be a place of security, support, strength, and comfort for one another. Do we do that? I think sometimes we do a great job of that. Occasionally, maybe not so much. Room for improvement, absolutely. Secondly, a real family provides an identity, a name, family name, an association. We wear the very name of Christ. Did you know that? Hence the term Christian. We wear the name of Christ. We're his representatives. We're his family. Do we carry the name well? I hope so. Our association and our fellowship here together, that's where we get our fellowship, our association. Should be a place where we overlook the differences, personalities, and we love each other like a real family, regardless of what body part you are, member of the body, hand or foot, or just a big toe. We love each other regardless. A real family provides growth. A real family that loves biblically is going to provide loyalty, honor, respect, protection, mentoring, nurturing. In other words, it's going to help each other grow. And guys, we are here to grow. We're here to make disciples. It's not one person's job. It's not one committee's job. It's everybody's job. And we're to help each other grow spiritually. Man, that's sobering, isn't it? As a church family that loves biblically, that's truly devoted to one another in love, giving preference to one another in honor, we're going to help each other grow. Are we helping each other grow? Who did you help grow this week? It's convicting, isn't it? It's the Word of God. It's where the bar should be set. It's where God sets it. It's where we should strive to be. A family that provides support, an identity, and growth. God's serious about this stuff. Is that the kind of real family we are? Should be. Do we love each other with devotion, commitment, and honor? We should. I wonder what the rest of the world thinks. What do they see? What does our community see? What do we look like as a family to this community? I got a picture. Is it that? You remember All in the Family TV show? Is that the family picture they get? Grumpy old man. A lot of fighting and criticizing and bigotry and rebellion going on. Is that the kind of family they see? I hope not. I don't think so. Maybe we have another picture. Is it the Simpsons? Bunch of morons. Idiots. Stumbling, fumbling over each other. Self-centered. Addicted to comfort and other stuff. I hope that's not the picture the world sees, this community sees. Maybe it's another picture we have. The Addams Family. Remember these guys? A little creepy, aren't they? A little scary family. Is that us? A little freaky family? Those guys down at Rocky Hill Baptist Church, you know, they're a little creepy looking, man. That little freaky bunch down there. I don't know. Maybe it is. Shouldn't be. Not very approachable. Wouldn't go to that door and knock on it. Somebody's doing their Lurch impression. I don't think that's a picture we should strive for. We got another picture? How about the American Chopper family? I don't even know their names. Paul Jr., Sr., and Mikey. Is that the family? Kind of loud, boisterous, a little intimidating. Not going to approach that group of people. They make me nervous. I don't think so. Is there another picture? Gets even worse, doesn't it? Sopranos. For the record, I've never seen the show. Bunch of thugs, pagan thugs. Is that what we are to the world? Just another clique? Another gang? Can't join that gang. They're a rough bunch over there. Not a very friendly bunch. A very hospitable bunch. Hope not. One more picture. Maybe it's the Brady Bunch. I don't know, a bunch of different folks all stuck together, loving and caring each other, accepting one another. Okay, I mean, I understand the Brady Bunch is some type of idealistic, surreal TV show. And personally, I'm not a big fan of the Brady Bunch. I'm kind of more of a Little House on the Prairie, kind of Waltons, kind of throw in some Andy Griffith and Little Leave It to Beaver kind of guy. But the point is, we're a family. We need to act like it. Love each other like it. And the world should see us as a family. One that cares for each other, devoted to one another, through thick or thin. Whether we like each other or not, whether our personalities clash or not, we're to love one another. Listen to the words of this 1979 song. It was number one on the R&B charts, number two in the pop charts in 1979. It's called We Are Family by Sister Sledge. I'm going out on a limb here, okay? The chorus goes, and the most of the song, you ever heard the song? Most of the song is the chorus over and over again. The chorus goes, we are family. Or actually, they say, we are family, right? I've got all my sisters with me. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. And there's only two verses in the whole song, and the first one I liked, and here it is. Everyone can see we're together as we walk on by, and we fly just like birds of a feather. I won't tell no lie. All of the people around us, they say, can they be that close? Just let me state for the record, we're giving love in a family dose. I think that's a good little picture, better than the Brady Bunch even. the world to see us together, close, giving love and a family dose, right? That's the kind of family we need to be. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Powerful. Convicting at times. And sometimes we think we got it together, and all I have to do is open up your scriptures and begin to read and realize, boy, my righteousness is as filthy rags. Father, we're thankful that you're not done with us. The transformation, the metamorphosizing that you're doing to us, it's not over. It's a process, a long process. Sometimes it's a little dark and lonely in the cocoon. But Father, we know that you're working on us. Father, we want you to work on us. We want you to mold us like clay into the image of Christ. Father, I thank you that you are. And Father, you have blessed this church immensely over the years. And I pray that we will not be satisfied. Father, we will still daily surrender ourselves individually and corporately to you so that you can shape us, transform us, so that we can be real. Help us to remove the mask. Father, it takes courage to remove the mask. Stop masquerading. I pray for courage. I pray that we will courageously obey you regardless. That the cloud moves, we will move with it. That our ultimate daily goal will be to please you and obey you in all that we do. And Father, we will watch your mighty hand at work and see your amazing grace and give you the praise for it. We do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.